Hey everybody, welcome back to News from the Queue. I almost forgot the name of our podcast for a second. I am Paul from Destination Geek, and I am joined by
Senor Eddie from Eddietainment.
Senor Eddie, we're going international today. I like it. I like it. You know, a little inside baseball. We are recording this episode on the day that we released the last episode. So if you have not listened to our last episode, we talked about Busch Gardens Williamsburg. We talked about Verbolten news. We talked about Food and Wine Festival. We talked about Project 2027. We talked about a bunch of stuff.
And the concert series.
Oh, and the concert series. We talked about everything. So make sure to check that out on Eddie's channel, Eddietainment. You can literally see it behind him on this on this podcast. Yeah.
I was like, see what?
Look that up on YouTube, or you can look up Destination Geek. It's on both of our channels, or you can check it out on your favorite podcast subscriber pod, whatever, what do you call it? Pod feed, pod something, Spotify, Apple, you know, whatever. Thank you to everyone who's been checking us out so far. Thank you to our new subscribers, and hopefully you keep coming back for more. We love the commentary, so you know, keep spitting ideas at us. Keep letting us know what you want us to talk about. We are in rampant speculation season, so we're going to hop back to talking about Halloween Horror Nights today because it is, look at Eddie's glass.
Cheers, everybody.
Yes. So we're going to go back to talking about Halloween Horror Nights because this Easter, so we're, 4 days after Easter? Yeah, about 4 days after Easter as of this recording. We got a new speculation map from Horror Night Nightmares. So if you're not familiar with how this works, Horror Night Nightmares has been doing speculation maps for Halloween Horror Nights for years. They do it, you know, they start very early. It used to be a lot more obvious what the speculation was, but I think, you know, in recent years they've taken it a little bit different and made a little bit more of a game on it, and they have like pictures and icons and things like that. Not Halloween Horror Nights icon, not like Jack and Oddfellow, like little pictures of things that like indicate what it could be to keep you guessing. Like they know what it is, but I think they, you know, they have these pictures to kind of make it a little bit of a game, get people talking, that kind of thing. And so we have new speculation maps for both Hollywood and Orlando. We're going to kind of focus on Orlando, but I do want to touch on a couple of Hollywood things while we're talking about it.
Okay. And just back to the point, we're filming this immediately after releasing another one because of how excited we are. So thank you guys all for the support, tuning in. Keep giving us your feedback. We'll keep the episodes coming. Now some Halloween Horror Nights speculation.
Yeah, you know, earlier, well, before, so two things. Before we get into the speculation, we're going to bury the lead here. One, this, we're recording tonight because you guys and the feedback and the fact that we released the episode today, we were psyched. We've really enjoyed doing this, and the feedback has been really positive, and, you know, you guys are really checking it out. And so we got excited. I reached out to Eddie. I'm like, I kind of want to record again. And he's like, well, let's do it. I'm like, okay, let's do it. So we're back on. By popular demand. So that, and before we get into speculation, there's a couple of Halloween Horror Nights things not on the speculation map that I figured we could talk about first, which is online there's a lot of active talk about the tribute store this year. So last year's tribute store was not in the, so there's, if you're familiar with the event, The Mummy, the Revenge of the Mummy ride, the extended queue from that is typically converted into the tribute store. So, you know, it's a big area. It was previously the extended queue of the Mummy. It looks like a Macy's from the exterior, but they do the tribute store there. And last year they did not do it because of the construction going on to take down Rip Ride Rocket and all that, and the construction kind of zone right there outside of where the queue would be for that, for the tribute store. So they did not do the tribute store there, but the construction is still happening.
Last year, was it because of that? I thought Rip Ride Rocket was at the event last year. Was it not?
No, Rip Ride Rocket shut down right before Halloween Horror Nights last year.
Oh, wow. Has it been that long? Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. All right. Yeah. No good. So they actually moved it to kind of the other side of the mummy,
yes,
to the right of the mummy, you know, where the Sahara Traders store is, there's an arcade next to it, and they moved the tribute store into that location. Very, very different. Right. Yeah, the exit of the mummy, very much a like a tribute store light, not as, you know, great theming, a lot of stuff to see in it, but not quite the tribute store, immersive tribute store experience we've gotten used to over these last few years.
I will say, Paul, I'm quite the polar opposite. I think it's the worst tribute store we've ever experienced.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can't think of a worse tribute store than that one. And it was super narrow, too. Yeah.
See, I actually thought last year's, and perhaps it's just because I only, you know, I visited it when they opened it up during previews, and I think I visited it once more during the event. But, like, I found it because maybe because it wasn't as immersive of an experience, I found it pretty easy to get in and out of. And I think that's one thing that I appreciated about it is that, yeah, like, yeah, we lost some theming, we lost some cool stuff, but at the same time, like, it was generally easy to go in and shop and buy some stuff. Whereas I find typically when you go to the tribute store, especially the year before last, where they had the giant bat creature in the sewer thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember that. I found that store really difficult to navigate. I found that very tight. Like, you know, they had so much theming. It's like, what's a theme versus what's a product? And the aisles were packed with people. I found it much easier to move around last year's tribute store. I feel like it was missing some of the cool stuff that we've seen in some of the tribute stores in years past. I also, full disclosure, I wonder why Universal Studios does all that stuff for the tribute store. Because, like, you're going to sell the same amount of products. So it feels, for me, pretty excessive to do the tribute stores that they do. I love it. Don't get me wrong. I love it. I think it's great. Everyone who works on that product, great job. I appreciate it every year. I just, I mean, I love the experience. But I feel like it is financially, from a business perspective, not necessary. I don't think that's the change last year, but I do find that, like, wow, this is a lot of work for a store when you can just literally put it on a rack in CityWalk and make the same number of sales, right?
Yeah, but I think there's certain things in the theme park world specifically. There's certain things and certain little extra small details that don't show up on a P&L for the board and the executives, but it does for the fans in a way that keeps us coming back. Mm-hmm. So it may not have that business approach and return. You're right, it's probably a little bit excessive, but I think for, you know, the big picture, it's super effective, right? Because, like,
yes, I will say, you know, it for the big picture of fan return, but on the flip side, I will say 90% of product I purchase at Halloween Horror Nights I don't purchase in the tribute store. I only purchase things in the tribute store that I can't get anywhere else, like the comic book that they had a few years back, or you know, stuff like that. But generally, I find the purchasing experience is a bit more of a madhouse in those stores. So I just buy it at, like, the Universal Studios store in the front of the park, you know, or you know. So I mean, again, I'm not complaining about the experience because I think the experience is lovely. I'm just, you know, I guess from a business perspective, I still kind of question the purpose of it. But at the same time, the purpose of it, I guess, is that we love it. We talk about it. People do videos about it. They do videos about it. It's a lot of hype. But last year's tribute store was definitely, Eddie hated it. I thought it was fine, but, you know, definitely not the same. I think they did a solid job with what they had, but it definitely wasn't the experience that it had previously been.
What I'll say, just to clarify my position, is it was a store, not a tribute store.
Yeah, I would agree.
That's the thing. And, like, the tribute store started at Halloween Horror Nights. It's been a staple of the event, and almost everybody looks forward to it as far as, like, the fandom, right? They could have done the Williams of Hollywood, which they've done in the past successfully. Why did they do it there?
I think because the Williams of Hollywood was still open last year during when Halloween Horror Nights started, I think. I think it was still Jurassic Park.
Which is fine.
Maybe it was the video store. I think it was the retro
video store. Whatever it was, they could have timed it better so that they didn't have to, you know.
Oh, yeah, I don't disagree.
About on HHN tribute store.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I mean, I've enjoyed many HHN tribute stores, you know, the first with being the, I think that was HHN 25, maybe was the first tribute store. That was in the old Twister queue. Leave us down in the comments. I don't remember if it was down in the comments or excuse me, leave us in the comments, but I don't remember if it was 20 or 25, but it was definitely an anniversary year where Twister used to be. They converted that entry, what's now Jimmy Fallon, they have converted that entry into, you know, it literally did have, like, it was a tribute in that it literally had props from Halloween Horror Nights past. And so I loved that, and that was like the start of it all. And now it's got some of that, but I think that's taken a step back to more of theme immersion story. You know, we've now had stories with that have featured like a mansion or the icons, or, you know, where they've featured different IPs from the event that each get their own room, stuff like that. So it's definitely grown over the years. This year, though, the rumor, you know, everyone kind of expected it to be back in the original location, the Macy's location. The Macy's?
Okay.
Yeah. But the rumor is that it won't be there this year. I don't know where. So there's only two other places where it would be, right? It would either be in the Williams of Hollywood location, or it would be back in the arcade location that it was last year. And I haven't seen any confirm or anybody saying where it's going to be. I've just seen a number of people online saying that it won't be there in the previous location, which I think, you know, folks were really hoping for.
Yeah, and you know what? That kind of, like, it's like almost like a double hit, because now we don't have the old Howl's Eve store anymore.
I know. You know, so, I went to Universal Studios a few weeks, about a month ago. No, a few weeks ago as of this recording. Check it out on my channel, Destination Geek. I went to Islands of Adventure. Like, I think it was like a few days after they had closed the store. Maybe it was like a day after they had closed the store, and they moved it to like the front of the park. Mm-hmm. So the All Hallows Eve store is kind of like this year-round Halloween store, but they've now closed it because I think they're about to do a lot of renovation work there in the Lost Continent area of Islands of Adventure. And they've moved a lot of the stuff to the front of the park in like this open-air shopping area. But it's not just Halloween stuff. Like, I bought a Masters of the Universe hat there. Like, it's just kind of a lightly themed store. But yeah, so we'll get some. The rumor is that we will not get a return to the classic tribute store.
Not to take us too off track, but a quick little ask from whoever's watching. Let us know down in the comments. This just popped in my head. If you're interested in us discussing potential, like, rumors of what's coming to the Lost Continent, let us know. I think that would be an interesting conversation.
I think we should discuss it. We don't need your opinion. No, we do. We like, let us know be if you nice. Would listen to that. I'm bad cop. No, yeah. Let us know if that's something you would listen to. Because I actually, you know, there have been so many rumors over the years. I'd love to talk about what that used to be and what the rumors are of what it could be. Leave us a comment down below. Let us know if you want us to talk about it. But yeah, tribute store, we'll see. You know, we won't get official confirmation. We won't get official confirmation of that for a while, but we'll start seeing where they're going to build it and stuff like that over these coming months. Like, we're going to start, Halloween Horror Nights as of this recording starts in about 4.5 months. So, you know, we are literally getting into speculation season. You know, we will probably see some type of official announcement in the next few weeks, you know, whether it's an IP or original properties. We're going to start seeing stuff rolling out every few weeks for the next probably 4 months leading up to the event. And so I'm looking forward to talking about all of it, because now we're just talking about speculation, which brings us to the speculation.
Well, on its way soon too. I would say,
we'll see some. What do you call those things? Those, like, those giant metal contraptions that they put up that everyone takes. The stanchion. We'll start seeing those things and the lights going up on the buildings. There's a number of folks on Twitter, like HHN Speculation Matt, Mayhem. Like, there's a couple of guys who like go a lot to the park and take pictures of what's going on inside Universal, of course. You know, if you're not following Inside Universal, follow them. Like, those are the guys that will give you all the great update pictures. The excitement is building, Eddie. But I as much as the excitement is building, I have some sad stuff that I want to talk about today when we talk about the speculation map.
Before we get there, I just want to kind of wrap it up with a thought. Maybe give me your your thoughts on this.
Okay.
What if they surprise us with a whole new location for the tribute store, given that it's the 35th anniversary?
Where do you think it would be?
That's a tough one, but maybe something like MIB-ish, kind of transform the MIB store a little bit. They've done some mild transformations for the MIB store when they have like the little scavenger hunts.
Mm-hmm.
So they could take it a little bit further. And the MIB store has space, especially if you eat up some of the exit queue area where like they have the screens and people dance on the way out.
Mm-hmm.
They could potentially do something. There's space there. There's space there.
You know what I would love to see? Especially because of what they've done over these last few years, by building this, or specifically last year with this hub that they built in the soundstage houses, like they have moved a lot of the queue back there inside the soundstage houses as well.
Mm.
I feel like you cut one of those queues in half and you use like a quarter of the soundstage as a tribute store.
That very well could be a great idea too, and like the sound stages would leave great opportunity for like the high ceilings, use some type of effect there, you know, with the decor. That would be sick.
But I think it would be cool. Like, I mean, there's a lot more logistics to that. It's going to either be Williams of Hollywood, the Macy's store, or the arcade, but it'll likely be one of those. But I would love to see it in a new location. I just think locations that, well, there's one other area, Eddie.
Here's an idea. So La Bamba Cafe, right? That typically gets used for RIP tours, right? Mm-hmm. But in the past, well, I guess with the construction, that kind of kills it. But in the past, they've used over by the New York Library.
Mm-hmm.
They've used that area for the RIP tours. So if they were to reutilize that and maybe make the tribute store La Bamba, I don't know. I'm grasping
at straws. I have an idea. No,
go ahead.
I have the Wicked thing, man. Like Wicked.
Oh yeah.
Duh.
Who needs Wicked?
Yeah, like, I mean, don't get me wrong. It was probably cool. It was cool when it first started, but like now both movies are out. There's nothing like imminent on the way. They're both out on Peacock. Like at some point they got to take down that Wicked experience, right?
Yeah, tomorrow. Like,
that would be the obvious place to put it, I would think. So
I way enjoyed the store that was in there before.
I don't even remember what was in there before.
It was like the Betty Boop,
the Hello Kitty,
Felix the Cat.
Oh, that's right. It was the Universe store. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think like that's a prime area though.
Merch.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. They have some different store.
Any young people watching this probably are like Felix the Who, but
yeah.
Felix the Cat. The merch in there was sick for Felix the Cat.
Yeah. No, I think I would love to. I think that would probably be a good backup choice, but we'll see. We'll keep you updated.
For sure.
You know, you mentioned Felix the Cat. Totally. I'm going to go off on a total different line of thought here. Actually, no, maybe I'll save it for our Lost Continent conversation.
All right.
I'm going to save this for our Lost Continent. That's a tease. Leave us a comment down below and I'll share what I'm about to say, what I would have said.
Please leave us comments. We want to talk about it so bad.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So HHN Speculation Map, the latest edition came out on Easter. We have already spoken about speculation. 80% of it is the same, but I do want to touch on a couple of things that are different this time than they were on the previous speculation map. One is that the Lady Gaga or Ghost or whatever the hell it was property is now off the map. And Hellraiser, potentially. This is all speculation, right? Nothing is confirmed. We don't have any inside sources. I need to put that disclaimer out there. but these guys do. But Hellraiser's back on the menu, and I'm excited about that. I like it. I think this Hellraiser has been something that's been rumored for a long time, and it's a property that I think, because of the rights behind it and things like that, they've had trouble really cementing down. We talked about it before. I think we talked about it on our first episode, but it's back. It's back on this speculation map. It's not in a soundstage. It's in, so the two, I think these are the two new tent houses. Are showing us.
It's where Galkin was.
Yeah, where Galkin was, and Fallout last year are now showing Sinners and Hellraiser, in those large houses. And those sound stages are basically like, or excuse me, those tents are like soundstage light. I would say. They can do pretty significant houses in there, unlike some of the other tent buildings or tent structures. So I have actually never seen Hellraiser.
What?
I have only ever seen
sad news that you were going to share.
No. Oh, what was the sad news? Oh, no, I'm going to get the sad news. I'll get to in a minute. No, the sad news is even sadder than that. Okay. I've never seen Hellraiser. I've never seen the first, I think, two Hellraisers. I think I've seen Hellraiser 3. I've seen the Hellraiser in Space one. I think it was called Hellraiser Bloodlines. I've seen some of the direct-to-video crap, but I've never actually seen the first Hellraiser. And I don't know why. I just have like a mental block on it.
So I've definitely seen it, right? Mm-hmm. But it's been so long that I would really enjoy if this property came to Halloween Horror Nights. But I do question its relevance in today. Like, is this really going to draw a crowd? Like, I don't understand. Most of the properties that they bring that are intellectual properties typically is to draw in new crowds, right? And Hellraiser is, it may be a new crowd to Halloween Horror Nights, but it's probably a very niche, older crowd.
Yeah, I would say yes, but I would say the thing about Hellraiser that, well, one, there was a Hellraiser movie a few years ago on Hulu. I don't know how popular it was, but it was, I haven't seen that one either. But I think the difference in Hellraiser is that, yeah, it's a classic movie. Yes, it's niche. It's not quite as classic or iconic as Texas Chainsaw or Halloween or Michael Myers. Texas Chainsaw, which is not on the speculation map, by the way. You know, the Hellraiser, I think one thing that sets it apart is that the design of the Cenobites, you know, the villains of the story, I think is timeless enough and iconic enough that people like Pinhead as a character is iconic, even if you haven't seen any of the movies. So yeah. I think that's something that, you know, I think regardless of the fact that the movie's probably 40 years old at this point, I don't know that it will necessarily draw a crowd like a Terrifier or a Five Nights at Freddy's, but I think it'll do well.
Yeah. And just so we kind of make a point of whether or not it did well, the one that came out in 2022 got a 68 on Rotten Tomatoes, but a 57 by viewers.
Oh, okay. So they didn't love it.
No.
Okay.
Which is, it's weird for Rotten Tomatoes to rate it better than the audience.
But
so, yeah.
I mean, I will say, you know, I think that's a pretty good twofer back there with Sinners and Hellraiser. I'm excited about both properties. I think Hellraiser has a lot of potential. I do.
I think Hellraiser has a lot of potential to surprise people, mm-hmm. Because there's going to be a large young demographic that has no idea what it is. But you're right. The makeup for these characters is intuitively horrifying, right? Yeah. You don't have to know what's going on to think it looks creepy as hell for somebody to have their head covered in pins.
Yeah, exactly. With pins, or the guy with the saw in his head, you know, the blade in his head, you know, I mean, I think the characters have enough of an iconic presence to do, to bring in an audience, or at least, you know, be cool, still be relevant. So that's one house, Eddie. Okay. The other one, you know, that's on here, that we haven't talked about much is the BuzzCon makeup So basically, it's a new BuzzCon house. BuzzCon is, you know, for anyone familiar with the history of the event, has been featured a number of times as this like chemical manufacturer or whatever. And so there's like this makeup thing that perhaps, you know, makeup is, I don't know the story of it, but like the rumor is that it's BuzzCon makeup, and perhaps maybe it's making people go crazy. Maybe it's deforming them. I don't know. But that's the current rumor as far as another original property. What is the burning book? I forget. Oh, Evil Dead Burn. We've already talked about that. But the thing that I want to talk about, that's
Evil Dad Burn.
Evil Dad Burn. I'm going to go to the sad thing, Eddie, because on this map, you know, we haven't talked about scare zones yet, but on this map, you'll see a clown in the streets of New York. You know, because one of the things is that there's going to be some type of clowny scare zone in the streets of New York, whether or not that's Killer Clowns from Outer Space or some other, you know, or multiple clown properties, we don't know. But one of the things that I'm no longer seeing on the speculation maps is It and Pennywise. And, you know, according to online sources or online chatter, I should say, you know, that there was a property that fell through and it's been replaced with Killer Clowns from Outer Space. And so all I could think of is that It and Welcome to Derry and Pennywise the Clown are no longer going to be featured at this year's event. And instead, we're going to get the Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Listen, if it's a scare zone, Killer Clowns from Outer Space scare zone was amazing. And that was an amazing year for scare zones in general. So I welcome it. And yes, I would have loved Pennywise at the
event. I don't think Pennywise would have worked as a scare zone. I think Pennywise would have worked as a house. I mean, there's only one Pennywise. Like, what are you going to do in a scare zone?
Either way, I think Pennywise and Ghostface are two properties that will always be dangled in our face, and we will never.
But you know what? Hellraiser was that for a long time, and we finally got Hellraiser.
But Hellraiser is nowhere near the caliber, and honestly, I don't understand why it's even that difficult. If anything, the difficulty is that we don't want to throw the dollars that we would throw at a Pennywise at Hellraiser. We're trying to get it at a bargain, and that's probably the bigger problem.
I don't know. I will say, I think one of the things with Pennywise that could potentially be happening is all this Warner Brothers acquisition crap. Right. I think Pennywise was on the table when Netflix was going to acquire Warner Brothers, because Netflix was really trying to partner with Universal Studios on bringing some of their properties to their parks. But now that that deal fell through and now it looks like Paramount's going to purchase it, I'm wondering if that put the kibosh on it a little bit. I don't know. Total speculation on my end. Where is
Paramount getting all this money from? They just purchased the UFC the rights to air the UFC for $6 billion. And this is completely off topic, but they purchased the rights to air the UFC and got rid of the pay-per-view model.
Yeah.
So you get it free, basically. Well, not free, but you get it for your monthly
subscription. Kind of like the WWE model, yeah.
So I was paying before with ESPN, I was paying around like $1,400 a year to watch all the pay-per-views. And now I'm paying like $100 and something
yeah,
a year. It's wild. I don't know where Paramount is getting all this money and how they would purchase Warner Brothers. Wasn't Universal in conversations as well?
Not for long.
Not for long. Okay.
Also, I think the most shocking part of that statement is that people still buy these UFC pay-per-views.
Whatever.
Much less all of them.
Listen. It's always been a tradition for me. This year, they kind of suck, and I think it's because of the Paramount purchase that Dana White's kind of like given up, because he's like, oh, I'm getting my money up front. No effort needed to increase that. But the years passed with the pay-per-view model. I kind of almost missed the pay-per-view model. I do feel like the quality was much better, and you didn't have a Dodge Ram commercial in between every like 5 minutes.
I do find that the lack of, you know, like the pay-per-view model that's been gone, because now it's basically gone away for almost everything. It's gone for WWE. It's gone for UFC. It's mostly even gone for boxing at this point, because now boxing is primarily on, you know, Netflix, like big boxing events. So it is interesting how the pay-per-view model has basically gone the way of the dinosaur. Yeah.
Yeah, it blows my mind that they're able to survive with the pay-per-view model gone. Like, how much money are they making on the back end without pay-per-view buys?
Advertising. It's all advertising dollars and gambling.
Yeah. Gambling, well, is for sure for Paramount, 100% it's advertising dollars. They literally slip in a Dodge Ram commercial in between every round in a fight. But not to get completely off topic.
Yeah, but now that we've bored you guys, welcome to Derry, no longer on the speculation map. That makes me very sad, because I will say, with the leftover IPs, whether it's Killer Clowns from Outer Space, Evil Dead, Stranger Things, Sinners, Hellraiser, or this other one that I'm about to talk about, none of them to me are as sellable, as easily sellable as Pennywise the Clown. I feel like that clown is, I feel like he is the only clown he's the most iconic evil clown that has ever existed. And I think it's a big loss to not have that property at the event.
I would say, and we'll continue to talk. I know you have a point to make, but we talked about Stranger Things already in previous episodes.
Mm-hmm.
There is no property this year that kind of holds the reins for a anniversary year, and typically that would be Stranger Things, but I think Stranger Things lost a lot of its luster.
Yeah, I think that's why. You know, I think when they, I mean, here's the thing: all five IPs are Ozzy Osbourne, Evil Dead, Stranger Things, Hellraiser, Sinners are all good properties.
Yeah,
but are they great properties for 2026? Yeah. And I think that's the one thing that this year, at least right now, appears to be missing, is the great property, whether it was it or something like the easy sell, the viral marketing thing, you know, something that'll really bring people in to talk about. I don't see it. But that being said, we don't know, right? Like, this is speculation. Things will change, and it could be any number of these things. But I think, Eddie, I think this is where we talk a little bit about scare zones when we're talking about viral sellable properties. Because in the scare zone, we've talked about the clown thing.
Yeah.
There's obviously going to be some type of entryway. The Infernal Carnival of Nightmares. You know, Jack and Dr. Oddfellow have teamed up to create this Infernal Carnival of Nightmares, ICON, Icon. That's going to be your entry point to the park. There will be the return of Club Horror. So basically, that's not a scare zone. So we only really have three scare zones anymore.
Ooh.
Right, because we've got the entryway to the park. That isn't really much of a scare zone.
Absolute trash.
So we have three essential. So we have an entryway, and then we have three scare zones. We've got New York, Hollywood, and Central Park, basically, as far as the actual scare zones anymore. So New York will be clowns, speculated to be clowns. Hollywood will be a 35th anniversary zone. Probably, we don't know what that means, but probably, if it's anything like others, anniversary featuring icons or characters from the past. And Central Park, rumored, speculated,
King Kong,
Fort Nightmares.
it could be Minions, and I would be more excited.
Yeah, I mean, somehow they've tapped into this this Fortnite property for I don't know much about Fortnite, but that the rumor is that the horror aspects of it will be brought into a scare zone.
Where is that coming from? Because Disney announced that the D23 that they had a partnership with Fortnite.
Well, I mean, they have a partnership with Fortnite, but who doesn't? Fortnite licenses has every license in it. Like, every movie that comes out, Warner Brothers, Superman was in Fortnite, that's Warner Brothers. Everything has a Fortnite property. And I don't even know that these are going to be, this might just be, giant evil bananas. I don't know. Apparently the rumor is that it's going to be Fortnite related.
A Kong scare zone wouldn't be too bad.
I don't know baby Kongs, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, you have a giant Kong.
maybe they put a giant looming Kong in the trees, but then you got a bunch of characters dressed as gorillas coming at you. You know,
I'm sure that would be effective. I the Fortnite thing, I don't know. I don't get it. I'm sure, I would love to hear in the comments what people think about it, because It's not my jam.
Yeah.
But I also, I don't know enough about Fortnite. Maybe it is my jam and I just need to look it up and be more familiar with it. It feels very left field, right?
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to say with no grounds or foundation to this point, I think they're wrong. Whoever thinks that's what it is, I think they're wrong. I have no proof that they're wrong, but my gut instinct tells me that this would be a terrible idea.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. That's an odd one. Everything else, I will say, from a scare zone perspective, whether it's Killer Clowns or otherwise, a clowny type scare zone, I'm good with. The Infernal Carnival of Nightmares, I think that could make for a very cool entryway. You know,
yeah.
Lots of rumors about the archway to this year's event being something more than just a giant medallion and posters, but perhaps actually receiving some type of carnival theming. Anniversary scare zones always get me. I always love hanging out near anniversary scare zones and seeing the shorts, you know, the little short shows that they do, you know, like I think HHN30, like all the icons had a little short little show, even last year with the Sinister and Surreal. Oh no, that was 2 years ago. But like they always have some type of, you know, little short things to watch in those. And I love that stuff.
Hollywood. Wait, who was last year? Wasn't Sinister and Surreal?
No, last year was
Oh, you're right. Sinister and Surreal were the first year of Premium Frames.
Yeah, so Sinister and Surreal were 2 years ago. Last year, I don't actually remember.
No?
No, because Oddfellow was 2023. Isn't that weird? Like, we are literally, this was just last year, and we don't actually remember what the scare zone was for Hollywood. Like, I remember the entryway.
Welcome right? To the AARP podcast.
Right? To the old guys talk Halloween Horror Nights. That's weird to me because like I remember the entryway because it was the
gargoyles.
What did they the gargoyles and stuff like that. New York was that the chemical spill? Yeah, New York was the chemical spill.
Oh geez, man!
So the origins of horror. Masquerade was in Hollywood. Last year. That was like the masked characters on the stage, and like they were vampires behind their masks. And then there was Toxic 20s was in New York, and then the Cat Lady of Crooked Lane was in Central Park.
Cat Lady was good.
Cat Lady was good. Toxic 20s was good too. Masquerade. Clearly, it wasn't as memorable because we forgot it. But
it
I will say for Hollywood, I actually like the Sinister and Surreal scare zones. Like the Sinister and Surreal year, I think had really strong scare zones. Remember, it's because they had the Ren Fair thing with Sinister, and then they had Surreal with the witches.
But wasn't the Hollywood scare zone was like the spray foam scare zone. Everything was spray foam.
Last year or the Sinister year or the Surreal year?
Wasn't it the Surreal year?
I thought the Surreal year was like the giant twisty thing in the middle and they're like, let me inside your fragile mind. And like they would gather around and do like this thing where Surreal was like invading someone's mind kind of thing. Watch your video, Eddie. Better yet, watch my video.
Good thing we have a video diary of all this stuff.
Right.
That being said, isn't it so? In the past, they've talked about Pennywise and Jack showing up at the same year. Like that's a clash, right? Of like clowns.
I think that was the hope for this year.
But that's a reason why a lot of people have said it's not going to happen, right? Any particular year that Jack's going to be there, they're probably not going to have Pennywise because two clowns. How about two potentially clown-like scare zones, right? That entryway is a carnival.
Yeah.
And then Killer Clowns from Outer Space is a traveling space carnival.
Yeah. If it's Killer Clowns, it might be just like Jack's Circus, you know, or something, which actually brings me, Eddie, I'm glad you talk about that. Because on the map, there is, and if you're listening to this via audio, there's the speculation map, one, check us out on YouTube, youtube.com. Check out Edutainment or Destination Geek if you're listening to this via audio. But if you're watching this, then you're looking at the image already. But the speculation map hints at two shows this year, in addition to the shows that are in part of the scare zones. But it hints at the return of a fountain show, right in the middle of the park. But it also hints that what is coming to the Fear Factor Theater will not actually be the return of Midnight Fear Factor.
I forget their name, but I'm so glad they're gone if they are.
Nightmare Fuel.
Get them out of here.
Yeah, Nightmare Fuel.
People are going to hate me for that one, by the way. They have a huge really? Following.
I will say, in all the years that Nightmare Fuel have performed, I actually only saw them once and I enjoyed the show. But it's because I probably only saw it once. I didn't see it every year. But the one time I saw it, I'm like, oh, this is cool. But like, you know, I think shows are tricky because you need them. You know, they pull a lot of people in. At the same time, like since Bill and Ted, it's largely been very similar, whether it was whatever preceded Nightmare Fuel. I think, there was Jabberwockies, but then there was that, like, that crew after them, the dance crew. I don't remember the name of it. But then, you had Nightmare Fuel. But what's being hinted is that we will see some type of Jack show in the Fear Factor theater this year, which all about, I'm very curious if it will be a new Jack show, if it will be a Jack show similar to what we've, you know, kind of like replacing this whole Nightmare Fuel vibe, or if it will be some type of recreation of the Jack show that we've seen at Universal Horror Unleashed, the Universal Horror Unleashed Jack show that runs every day is, I think it's called Stay or Slay. And it's kind of similar to the Jack show that was the Carnival of Carnage, the Jack Return show from HHN 25. But regardless, if it's a Jack show, like, sign me up. Like, I think that's a way to get to get people excited.
Nightmare Fuel ran its course about 3 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
And I am so glad that it's gone. If it is gone, obviously it could be returning. Something new would be awesome. I would love for them to actually, I get why Bill and Ted never came back, but for the 35th anniversary, at least bring back something satirical. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, admittedly, for me, I would rather see a Jack show than another Bill and Ted or anything like that. I don't love satire shows. I find them a little silly. I know that's the point.
That's the point of satire, Paul.
I know. Academy of Villains. That's who predated Nightmare Fuel.
That's like saying, like, I hate watching comedy movies because...
because they're so funny.
Laugh, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, no, the satire stuff, I don't know. Like, I've just never been a big fan of the satire shows. But, like, I don't think we're going to get Bill and Ted back. But I would be... I'm excited about a Jack show. Regardless of what form it may take, it will take a form of dancing and music and fire because that's just what they do. Even the one in Las Vegas, you know, is a dancing and music show. But this one, I'm glad to see that they're doing something like that there. Hopefully. Again, speculation.
Speculation.
But yeah, you know, I mean, so that's what's speculated for Orlando. And really the only thing that I wanted to talk about, and, you know, maybe we'll do a future episode about Hollywood, but the one thing I wanted to talk about is that in Hollywood, one of the key differences is the Terror Tram. The IPs are largely the same. Stranger Things, Ozzy, Hellraiser, Sinners, but the Terror Tram, or Evil Dead, the Terror Tram, at least at the speculation map, appears to be a hint that we will see not only Killer Clowns from Outer Space, but Terrifier as part of the Terror Tram. So we'll get a double clowny Terror Tram this year, but Terrifier won't be featured in Orlando this year. So I find that interesting. But I will say, I feel, knock on, I mean, I don't want to knock on because it's not like a luck thing other than I hope I'm right. I think we'll see Terrifier come back for next year's Halloween Horror Nights.
The last movie's coming out, right?
Yeah, Terrifier 4 should be coming out next year in 2027. So I think we'll see Art the Clown return for HHN 2027. Could be totally wrong on that. But I would not be surprised if that's announced for 2027. They're just kind of giving him a rest this year, because I think as much as I would love to just see them invest in all clowns, I think if you have too many clowns, it may dilute who's the actual icon of the event, and that's Jack.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. And Hollywood is interesting. The year that you and I went to Hollywood, I definitely thought that Hollywood was better than Orlando that year.
That was a good year.
Yeah, it was a really good year. But that being said, I've never been, like, regardless of how popular the Terror Tram sounds and most people make it seem, never been a huge fan because of the walk back, and you don't actually ride the tram too much. Yeah. You get taken somewhere, dropped off, and you walk a whole ton after walking the whole ton.
So. I think the year we went was the year they did the Blumhouse as part of the Terror Tram, and they had like Megan and the Black Phone and the Purge and stuff like that. That was cool. I actually do like the Terror Tram. I think it's unique. But to your point, like, the tram itself is not actually like the tram just brings you to the thing that you walk through, and then, you know, then you come back, then they brings you back. Like, it's not actually a thing, but
it's not part of the actual experience. It takes you to the experience.
Exactly. So, but we'll talk about Halloween Horror Nights Hollywood in a future episode. So, any other thoughts on this year's on what's speculated? What are you most excited about before we wrap up here?
You know, for the first time ever, I'm typically an IP guy, right? I do love the originals, but for the first time ever, I got to say I'm probably much more excited about the originals than I am any particular IP. If I had to choose an IP, Sinners is probably the one that sticks out the most, and maybe Ozzy next. Okay. Hellraiser is probably the surprise terrifying house. Mm-hmm. But the one that really sticks out to me is Jack and Oddfellow. More than anything, but
I would say Jack, those are my top two. I'd say Jack and Oddfellow and Hellraiser are probably my top original and top IP. But they're freaking cool looking. As far as scare zones, for me, it's gotta be that 35-year zone, you know, 35th anniversary zone. That's clearly going to be, for me, the one that I'm most interested in.
The opening area, like, scare zone makes me think of Halloween Horror Nights when we had that, like, what was it, Twisted Carnival or whatever, haunted house?
Tell me more.
It was like a carnival house, but it was like a dilapidated carnival, and like all the signs were falling through and you were walking through it.
Oh, you're talking about Carnival Graveyard. Yes, Carnival Graveyard.
Yeah. That's what I think of there. And if that ends up being the aesthetic, I will be so excited.
So excited. Could be good. Yeah. So excited. Well, what about you guys? What are you most excited about as far as speculation for this year's Halloween Horror Nights? What do you hope gets announced next? From the crew at Universal Orlando Resort, leave us a comment down below. Let us know your thoughts while you're down there, whether you're watching this on Eddie's YouTube, Destination Geek YouTube, or listening to it on your podcast provider. Hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell so that you know are notified when upcoming episodes come up, and give us a thumbs up on this. It lets us know that you like this type of content. Let's know you want more of it, and it helps us out too.
Leave us some comments so that we have another episode to bring to you guys. And if you want to see that Lost Continent video.
Yeah, if you want to know what I was going to say, leave that comment down below. Because I want to talk about it. And I would suggest doing it soon because it's related to something that's happening soon.
Ooh.
That's the hint I'll get. Okay. I'll give you. It's related to something that's happening very soon. This summer, in fact. So we'll talk about it. All right. Well, everyone, thank you so much for watching. We will see you next time.
Deuces.